This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
We've got some leeway for the next session, so I don't want to lose the opportunity of any questions for the two speakers here. If anybody wants to put any points together, I'm just going to ask one question to Steve. You talk about the scale of the cuts being enormous, so there's never, over the last 40 years, we've never really cut public spending. Is it actually possible then?
Would you like to ask me that in about 4 years' time? I mean, I think it is hugely challenging. I think we will manage to make a significant adjustment to public spending through this process. Whether we will achieve the whole of the 25% over 4 years, the average cut that the government has spoken about, I think is, you know, it'll be very interesting to see how far we can guess. What kind of shape we will be in at the end of the process, I think, is another very sort of, you know, jury's out question. On the other hand, I suppose, just to sort of tinge that with a bit of, you know, to be slightly more positive, you know, if you want to achieve 20% reductions in an organisation, aim for 30%, you know, would be my, you know, I think is one of the kind of, one of the lessons. I think if the government weren't going for 25%, they were going for 15%, I think we would all still be saying this is going to be tremendously, tremendously challenging. So, you know, I think we'll make a lot of progress. Whether we get all the way in the timescale that's been outlined, I think is a question.
For councils in particular to simply to go back to their core businesses and decide, for example, that supporting LSPs isn't a core business anymore.
I think we will get, personally, I think there will be a lot of kind of retrenchment to what are seen as kind of core activities. And I think we will see a lot of kind of stripping away of frills. The challenge, therefore, I think, for activities like LSPs is to demonstrate that they're engaged in absolutely core delivery, core activity, and that they are an efficient mechanism and vehicle. And in a way, I think that cuts across to Edward's presentation. You know, in a way, the test of all of these things is going to be public opinion. And not just in terms of, you know, how people answer when they're asked what do you think of the LSP, but you know, how people respond to proposals to cut different services, whether there is absolute outrage and opposition, in which case inevitably politicians and public bodies will kind of, you know, will pause, or whether there is a more of a green light, in which case inevitably in this climate organisations will press ahead and make those adjustments.
Hey, anybody, any other points? You're gagging for your coffee, are you? No? Okay. We'll take them all together. So, lady there and lady there.
Can I just say, colleague and I feel a bit like cuckoos in the nest because we feel that we are the only two elected councillors here this morning. So, forgive us if we say to you, welcome to the real world. I think you've got to, I think what our colleague said from SITFA is absolutely right. I think, and a colleague here feels, that you've got to justify being here and being the LSP, and you've got to justify to the electorate that we represent and have to knock on doors every 4 years to get elected, that you're worth keeping. And if you can do that, well done. But if you can't, I suggest you all start looking for another job.
Thank you very much. The lady over there, we'll come back to the panel.
Allied to that, in terms of community engagement, one of the things that you didn't talk about was the role of elected members. What do you see as their role in terms of the leadership and in terms of community engagement?
Okay, any other points before we wrap up? Lady there.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Kate Crofts from Essex Partnership. My question relates to the involvement of members, but is also about the how. We're hearing increasingly more about using social media, cloud computing and so on, and the younger generation engaging with what they want and how they want it as individuals. But as you said yourself, that some channels, Edward, don't work for everyone. Some people don't wish to engage in the same way as their next-door neighbour or their relative. How can we harmonise the different methods of engagement into one collective consciousness that actually can make a change without threatening the feelings of those who have been democratically elected to represent us?
Okay, thank you very much for that. And finally, any last, right, another question there?
Ian Chisnell from Sussex. Perhaps just to kind of counterbalance some of the emphasis that was coming through, I don't think people in our localities give are at all interested in what.
You suddenly remembered you were being filmed. That was it.
Exactly. I think there is very little interest in what it takes to deliver good quality joined up services. What is clear is that people will not tolerate a failure to join things up. And whilst the LSP may not be the best way of joining things up in every locality, if things are not joined up, then people will have no patience, including and specifically for the elected members. So I think the challenge perhaps to throw at you is, if the LSP proves to be unsustainable in the light of what was said in the table behind me, what would you imagine would replace it in order to give justification to people in our communities that public services are being delivered in the most effective and coordinated manner?
Okay, thanks for that. Well, I think we'll bring the question to Edward. Do you want to pick up any of those points?
Yes, well, I think, first off, I think elected members are a crucial part of the landscape of engagement. They're, you know, one of the few bits which are actually democratically elected. And I suppose the reason I didn't go on to that was I'm very happy to have 17 seconds left on the timer by the end of my presentation. Elected members, I can understand that there has been resistance from elected members, especially backbenchers, because councillors in England have the least power of any elected members, local elected members in Europe. And so it's perhaps unsurprising that people feel, well, I've been elected and now central government wants to take the little power I have and give it to community members. So I think in a way the devolution of power to local councils, the decentralisation, goes hand in hand with engagement. Councillors need to have a much bigger role to play, and communities also simultaneously need to have a much bigger role to play. I've been quite keen to see things like in Westminster, where councillors have been given a devolved budget, which they then spend in consultation with their communities. So actually placing councillors at the heart of some of the engagement processes. With regards to social media, it is a challenge. Not just because of physical access. I think that's disappearing over time. But also because what I might call the firewall in the head. In East Germany, they talked about the wall in the head, the mental limitations that people put for themselves. And a lot of people, while they are on Facebook, they won't go to the council site. Mark Zuckerberg, who invented Facebook, was asked by a desperate CEO of a multinational company, how can I create a community like you've got? And he said, you can't. The community is already there. You just need to facilitate it. So any attempt to create something new, I think, will fail. What the key thing is to actually map out what's going on locally and tap into that, and can the LSP fill a role in joining things up, in joining up these informal networks that exist and supporting them? And I guess the point you raised, if it doesn't work, then I guess the LSP doesn't have a function to play, but there will be a need for something to join up public sector. So if we lose the LSP, we'll probably have to reinvent it in another form a few years later.
Steve?
Could I just use those questions to speak about a fear, really? Edward talked about the sort of the new age we're in and the politics of partnership rather than conflict, or a phrase something like that, and we kind of all know what he means. But I think I want to kind of, you know, challenge that in a way. I mean, there clearly is a spirit of partnership between the two coalition partners, but we also still have an opposition, and it does seem to me that the coalition government aren't missing many opportunities to remind us whose fault this all is. You know, the budget speech was absolutely kind of littered with those references to the previous government's neglect and so on and so forth. Why is that important? Well, because I think in due course it's pretty easy to predict the possibility of the Labour Party having a bit of a resurgence in local government as central government becomes very unpopular as it tries to make these cuts. What then are Labour controlled councils, what contribution are they going to make to this kind of, you know, collective effort to make this big adjustment? Are they going to come into sweep into power to implement the cuts, or are they going to find it be more attracted to the role of sweeping into power and positioning themselves as the defender of public services and the sort of the resistance in relation to the cuts? This takes me back to the 1980s, where, you know, where local government was the resistance. And the significance of this for me is, I mean, first of all, it flags up what I think is a really important kind of issue and challenge for us. But secondly, it's a reminder that one of the roles of elected members is to create the kind of mood music in our organisations, you know. And we desperately need elected members, irrespective of their party colours, to be kind of helping us to maintain a focus on, as I said in my presentation, the only game in town. You know, the importance of making this adjustment as effectively as possible, with as little impact on frontline services as possible, though clearly there is going to be some impact, and to emerge through this process as decent kind of, clearly smaller, but as decent, competent, sustainable organisations to take charge of the important responsibilities we have downstream.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Steve Frere and Edward Anderson. We'll have a break now. We are a little bit behind.